Listen and stream the only talk radio, Freedom 106.5, for the only talk that matter.
We do have a special interview at this time, World Down Syndrome Day today. And joining us to have a discussion about it is someone who has been working for quite some time at the Lady Ho Choi home. And that, of course, is a gentleman. His name is Andrew Romero, joins us this morning. Mr. Romero, good morning to you and welcome to our program.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here.
Nice to have you with us here this morning. As we usually do, some of our guests, I'll give you the opportunity to tell us a bit about yourself and some of what you're involved in so that you familiarize our listeners with you. So go right ahead. Tell us a bit about yourself and your involvement with the work at Lady Ho Choi Home and so on.
Okay. Yeah, thanks. So, I have been at the vocational center. I heard you mention the Lady Ho Choi Home. It's actually at the Lady Ho Choi Vocational Center. It's two separate facilities. So the vocational center caters both for young adults, like young persons who are from the ages of 16, 17 upwards. Right? So I've been at the center for over 12 years now. And the area where I am at, where I teach is at Pre-Wood Work, right? Where we have different workshops at the school, at the center. So the center was established in 1994, right? And before the center was established, we had a Lady Ho Choi home, which was established in 1961, right? I could get some historical facts about it if you want to hear some.
Sure, you should go right ahead. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so it was the person who really who spearheaded the whole thing was Lady Thelma Ho Choi, governor's wife, late governor's wife. She was also assisted by American social worker, Miss Miles, I think her name was, not Jean Miles. But anyway, she assisted Miss the late governor's wife, and they were also able to get like-minded persons to assist them in starting an organization, right, called China Tobago Association for Retarded Children, but now they no longer use the word retarded, right? But back then, we used that term, and that body was what governed the Lady Ho Choi homes. So basically, the homes started in 1961 and catered for children who are also not only mental issues, but also physically challenged, right? And so, like I said, the vocational center came after that. So we did a lot over the years for persons who are mentally challenged, both the home and the vocational center, where I'm at. So that is a brief history of the home and how the Lady Ho Choi home started.
Mm-hmm.
It was really under the... And one thing I must mention, too, the Carmelite sisters, they came on board as well and to manage the home and the center here as well. They manage the center, the Carmelite Corpus Christi sisters. So a lot we must give thanks to them for managing the home and the centers over the years. So presently, at the center, we have different workshops, like I said. We have art and craft, we have woodwork, where we produce a lot of furniture, we refurbish old furniture, we make a lot of craft items where we sell, especially during the Christmas season, the occasional thing more or less. And also during the year, we have certain items we sell. We have a butler workshop, a kitchen where we produce nuts, butler nuts. It's one of our biggest sellers, right? We sell those nuts like at Massey stores and other supermarkets. And we have cake and ice, and we have hairdressing. We have a butler workshop where we sort out butlers and we sell the Caribbean brewery. And we color these butlers and we sort it out and sell it to the Caribbean brewery. So we have a number of things, but this is the center where I'm at, where I work at the pre-wood work. Whenever a student comes, a trainee comes into the school, I have to assess the training, especially the boys, because the teachers, we have teachers, like the male teachers, we mainly deal with the young men, female teachers, they really deal with the female students. So I have to assess the students that come to the center, right, and see the level of disability and see how we could get them to improve as time goes by. So as we see the potential in the student, they can move on to do other things, right? So we have different levels of disability at the center. It's not just Down syndrome, right? We have other persons with mild mental disability and those who may also have, we have one boy, but he's no longer here at this time, but he was very autistic. So over the years, we have one or two autistic children as well at the center. Yeah, so basically that's it in terms of my involvement at the center as a teacher there. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I know the information is good groundwork for us for our discussion, but I have you only until 8 o'clock this morning. What is Down syndrome? I mean, there are people who we would see individuals and we would say, all right, that person has Down syndrome, but what is it exactly? What causes it?
Yeah. So I'll give you the medical term because, you know, I'll try to be brief because people have this misconception about person with Down syndrome, right? So the Down syndrome person, it's called Down syndrome or Down's syndrome. You know, it's a common chromosomal abnormality that occurs when a person has a part or a full extra copy of chromosome 21. It's also known as trisomy 21, right? So Down syndrome is the most common congenital anomaly involving a physical, mental, and functional issue. You know, it includes increased risk of health problems due to the presence of a third gene instead of the normal two chromosomes 21. You know, basically some children are born with 64 chromosomes, and we have Down syndrome children, you know, have a genetic disorder resulting in alterations in facial appearance. And so you see these things occurring in persons with Down syndrome, a child being born with Down syndrome is here. And symptoms can greatly vary from child to child. And some kids may need a lot of medical treatment, but others lead healthy lives. Yeah. There are three types of Down syndrome, actually. Trisomy 21, so that is one. Translocation Down syndrome, mosaic Down syndrome, right? So, like I said, some people have this misconception about Down syndrome, persons, and they need to, society needs to be more synthesized, you know, about persons with Down syndrome and try to understand what causes it. But it's really a disorder, genetic disorder in the child. Sometimes it comes from genes, sometimes, you know, parents. Different reasons could occur, you know, based on that.
How prevalent is it amongst our population?
Well, I'll give you an idea. In America, it's 1 in 700, you know, 1 in 700 child being born with Down syndrome, and as you know, the American population, so compared to Trinidad. So we break it down in that sense, and that we have, it comes across all races. You know, it's not just one particular race. So you find it in all races, and it's not that prevalent that much, I must say, in Trinidad, but you will find a lot of, a number of children being born. Somebody must know somebody who has a child who is Down syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
A small country, you know somebody who has a child who has Down syndrome. Right? Yeah, so based on that, I think I don't know how prevalent it is in Trinidad, per se, but I know in other countries they will find a greater percentage.
You spoke about awareness. Now, there is, of course, the International Day, and we've heard, I think everyone has heard the term Down syndrome before, and there are all these wacky fads that, you know, you wear your mismatched colored socks and all of that kind of thing for today. But I'm getting from you that you think more needs to be done. What more do you think needs to be done?
Yeah, so a lot needs to be done. I mean, we have to sensitize the public about persons with Down syndrome. And not just Down syndrome, but persons with mental, who are mentally challenged. Because, like I said, there are different types of mental challenge, persons with different levels of mental challenges. So, but in terms of respect to persons with Down syndrome, we have a lot of myths about persons who have Down syndrome. And people need to be more educated on that. And I would like to see that being highlighted maybe on the media and, you know, get people to understand. Because some people feel a person with Down syndrome could be aggressive and, you know, something wrong with them, you know, they're insane or something, you know. And these are things that, you know, we have to, you know, they could be one of the most loving, you know, people. I've been working at the center for years, and I can tell you they are very loving. I mean, they have emotions too. They get angry, yes, but they can be one of the most loving people, not to be wrong. But again, if we don't understand and try to educate ourselves and knowing more about them, we will have this misconception about persons with Down syndrome, you know. And yes, I would like to see more corporate Trinidad come on board to help. They have been doing a lot, I must say. I commend a lot of the corporate Trinidad and for what they have done over the years for persons with Down syndrome, you know. Companies like DigiCell and T-Mobile and other private companies who assisted in a lot over the years, but a lot more needs to be done. Yes.
What about educational opportunities? I know the vocational schools, like this one, this vocational center, is intended at providing them with a skill that they could possibly use in life to earn a living or along those lines. But what about traditional education? Can persons with Down syndrome be incorporated into the school system? Do we have specific schools for them, their learning capacity, and so on? What's the situation with that?
Yeah, so I believe, the center itself, like I said, we have different workshops, right? Because we cater for persons with different levels of mental disability. So someone with Down syndrome students, they do learn certain skills, and they can move on in life to get employment, right? We have to teach them certain skills, and some of them are better at some things than others. You know, in terms of the academics, some of them might be very slow, but in terms of like learning a skill, you know, they could understand certain things, and they could learn it, and they could improve on it. And based on that, they could get employment. Like, for instance, we have some students who left the school some years ago and got employment in Peaks and PriceMart and different places over the years. And some of them, one of them in particular, is still working at Peaks, sorry. So we have had a lot of students who have done well at the center and who have left and got employment outside. But yes, in terms of the mainstream school, getting some of the Down syndrome children at the school, I think the educational system needs to really make some adjustment to cater for persons with Down syndrome, because, I mean, not all of them can really excel academically. It's hard for some of them because of the IQ and all of that, but there are those who can, you know, improve academically. But again, we have to have teachers who specialize in those areas to deal with persons who have that slow mental, you know, capacity. Yeah. It takes a while for them, but they eventually do absorb what they are being taught. But again, that's all about, you know, the putting things in place to deal with that issue.
But
there can be improvement.
Yeah, I've actually had personal experience with this. When I went into high school, the very first year in Form 1, there was a young man who was within our group who had challenges. I'm not too sure if his case was a full-blown Down syndrome case, but he was brilliant, and he made it into QRC. And in those days, getting into QRC, you had to be in the top 5% of the SEA students. And he made it into the school. But I can't remember what happened to him, because he did not... I don't think that he stayed in the school. After the first... So second term, he was transferred somewhere else. Maybe because I am assuming that his family or somebody thought that he would have been better served. You know, his educational requirements would have been better met somewhere else. Mm-hmm. But it's in tandem with what you're saying, that the intelligence level is not something that people should, you know, look down on or dismiss automatically. And there was a story in the Guardian newspaper about two young women who are cases with Down syndrome, but they've been able to excel in the field of work in the banking sector, and they've done very, very well for themselves. Mm-hmm. And you know, we're looking at Down syndrome because today is, of course, World Down Syndrome Day. But persons with disabilities, quite frankly, I've seen over the years, if given the opportunity and the requisite support, have the ability to become upstanding citizens who make a worthwhile contribution to society. There's another gentleman that I know. He had a speech impediment and managed to get himself into, and I'll call the company's name because I think they need to be commended as well, into Pizza Hut. Mm-hmm. And he started as a cleaner. Mm-hmm. And from a cleaner, he worked up to I guess, the staff behind who was cooking, and he found himself in a very serious senior position after the number of years that he served the company. I think that companies who go beyond the call to give someone the opportunity, they're making a difference. They're really making a difference in someone's life, between a life of somebody being dependent on handouts and somebody who can turn this around and make a worthwhile contribution. In your years at this vocational center, you would have had the opportunity to interact with not just the students, but their families. How does having a child or an individual who has Down syndrome, what kind of challenges does that bring for a family?
Yes, it's very challenging, I must say, not just for the family, because some of the children also live with relatives, like maybe their parent died, or, you know, some of them also live at the home that we have here, the child home, because their parent may have died, or the relative or family may not want to keep them, you know. And that is sad, because, I mean, sometimes I know a young man, his mom died, his father died years ago, but his mom died and his sibling didn't want to keep him. So they put him in a home, right, because they didn't want to keep him. So these things happen, and some families, they go through a lot in terms of getting help for their loved one, their Down syndrome child, because it's difficult for them. Some of them get a grant from the government to help maintain the child, or take care of the child. But that in itself, you know, some of the parents need much more help, you know, in dealing with that issue with a Down syndrome child, or a child who is mentally challenged, because, like I said, different levels of mental disability, yeah, those are very slow. And they cannot take care of themselves. They need to be cared for. Yeah, those who can take care of themselves. So, you know, at the center, we have that. So we have some of the children who are very slow learners, but very slow mentally. We are the mild, we are the high functioning, right? So different levels. So you find a child who is very slow will need that attention more than the child who is high functioning. Because a child who is high functioning, they can take care of themselves, they can pay themselves, they can prepare a meal for themselves, because they, you know, they are taught that at an early age. But the child who is very slow still need to be attended and taken care of. And that is the one that is supposed to more difficulty for the parent or the relative who is taking care of that child. They need assistance.
I know we're coming close to the end of our interview. You have your other obligations with schooling and everything else. Today's World Down Syndrome Day, and it's been around, the day has been around for quite some time, and it does not seem as though we've gotten to the level of awareness that we need to be. As somebody who has been working with persons who have Down syndrome, with their families, and trying to help them gain a skill and fend for themselves and make worthwhile contributions, what do you think the public needs to be more mindful of? If, and to persons who are listening to us who may have a child or an individual who would need the services of the vocational center and to become involved in the system, how does one go about doing that? So two separate questions.
Yeah, and, so I'll answer the last one first. Mm-hmm. The parent or loved one who has a child with Down syndrome, have hope for your child, have the best of dream for your child. Your child, push your child to be the best that they can be, right? And that in itself can, that will bring a lot of joy to you as a parent or loved one who has a person who is either Down syndrome or mentally challenged, who is struggling with certain mental issues. push your child, love your child, show them that they can be the best that they can be. Right? So with regards to respect for people who, in society, who may have certain misconception about persons who are Down syndrome, please try to understand that they can be, they are normal people. They are not some kind of alien from space. You know what I mean? Sorry to put it that way. But they are human beings. They have feelings, they have emotions. You know, when you see them, treat them, you know, be kind to them. Don't be afraid of them. They just want to live a normal life, and we have to appreciate them and love them, and also see that they can also contribute a lot to society. They can be, you know, citizens who can contribute positively to society. If we give them a chance, you know, we have to give them a chance. And they can do a lot, you know. I have worked with them here in the school. I have seen a lot of them with potential, but when they go out there in society, sometimes, you know, people belittle them and look down on them and don't give them the opportunity. Sometimes they work outside there and they also they are not being paid properly, you know, and that is being victimized. You know, that is not nice from some people who treat them that way, mistreatment, you know, and we have to treat them as human beings. They are human beings, you know. So we have to treat them with love and try to understand that they can also contribute. They are not scientists or you know what I mean, but they can do a lot. Yeah. You know, we are not doctors and lawyers. Some of them can really go far. You said a while ago they can achieve a lot, but they can also, you know, contribute positively to society. This is my contribution, my talking about persons with Down syndrome on this special day, you know, because it's a special day for them, and I hope that many of them who are listening will understand and try to, you know, elevate themselves to be the best that they can be. Yeah.
I think that's a good note for us to end our interview here this morning. I know that you do have other pressing commitments, Andrew Romero. Thank you so much for being with us here this morning and shedding some insight, some light into this entire topic that we probably need more information on. Thank you once again for being with us here this morning.
Yeah, I appreciate. Thank you a lot for allowing me to share my thoughts and views on this Down syndrome day.
Yeah, most definitely. That's where we drop the curtains on our interview here this morning.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.